Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: vocation, calling, and election. Chapter 6. The absurd concept of a part-time calling or a full-time calling. In several Christian groups, or groups that call themselves Christians despite not always being in fact, a recurring question arises, namely, should a Christian live one's calling or one's vocation full-time or part-time? Now, if the upward calling, or vocation, of God for a Christian is eternal salvation, a life as saved in Christ, eternal life by having Christ in the heart, and the newness of life by fellowship with Christ, how could the calling of God for Christians to be part-time? If a Christian's calling is to live for God's eternal purpose in Christ Jesus and, at the same time, it is also a calling to live and walk as a child of God, as a new creature, as one who has reached the light and who in everything is called to serve Christ, to be an instrument of righteousness, and so on, how could the Christian think of adopting a posture of partially answering the sovereign vocation of God for one's life? Could anyone be half saved? Could anyone achieve half of eternal life? Could God's call be to half fellowship with Christ? Could a Christian aim to live for God's purpose in some moments of one's life and willfully choose to live contrary to God's purpose in others, and still expect to be living according to the Lord's will in the general aspect? Could a Christian aim to be half led by the Holy Spirit and, in the other half, want to depend on one's flesh? Could a Christian want to gather with Christ and deliberately want to scatter at the same time, hoping to thereby be serving Christ? Could the Christian choose the moments when one will be in favor of Christ and the moments one will be against Christ? Could God's calling aim for people to be partial children of God and, at the same time, partial children of the world or the power of darkness? Could the Christian be called by the Lord to choose to be dedicated to the light at some times and want to be a servant of darkness at others? Could the Christian be called by the Lord to choose in what activities one will be an instrument of righteousness and in which he or she will be an instrument of unrighteousness? Considering that in all things a Christian is called to live and walk in a way that cooperates with God's eternal purpose of gathering together all in Christ Jesus, according to God's grace, there is no room for the thought that God's upward calling for Christians can be part-time, as if they are called to be Christians in some ways or things and not in others. Occasionally, a Christian may incur sin in daily life, momentarily deviate from God's upward calling, and deviate from living and walking as a new creature in Christ and as a child of God. However, in situations like these, the Christian is called to repent and return to what is appropriate for one's life. An aspect that shows that the calling or vocation of God for human beings is not a proposal that could be fractioned, as if God supposedly agreed with a person choosing to live partially with God in some moments and dissociated from the will of the Lord in others. When a person genuinely receives the new birth in Christ, one is constituted a new creature in the Lord. And so, it is not convenient for this individual to try to divide the calling to be a child of God, aiming by this only being partially a child of light to be able to dedicate oneself to not being a child of God at other times. The situation may occur where a Christian is not yet aware of all the implications of one's calling to be a child of light in full or does not even know what life according to the new creature is like. However, a Christian should never think that one is called to be a child of God in some moments and not in others. Or even worse, to think that one is called by God to be holy, separated in the Lord, in some activities and not in others. To think that a person is called to serve God partially is to lack understanding of the main aspects of God's calling for the new creature, or still, it is the thought of those who have not yet experienced the new birth in the Lord indeed. 1 John 5:3-5. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? As an observation, in the themes addressed in the systemic teaching about Christian life, on several occasions when reference is made to the scriptures in which the word commandments of God is mentioned, we have tried to emphasize that these are not the commandments of the law of Moses. The commandments of the law of Moses were fulfilled by Christ and then revoked by the Lord due to their weakness and uselessness, as we have already mentioned in previous chapters and whose theme is also widely discussed on the subject of the gospel of the glory of God and of the glory of Christ, concerning which we recall that Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Therefore, we understand that it is propitious to repeatedly emphasize the end of the law of Moses for those who are in Christ, for it is from the mentality associated with the law of Moses, and similar to it, that the mistaken concepts of part-time servants or full-time servants derive. The priests and Levites were servants of the services so-called spiritually special or regarded by some as full-time services. The people, in turn, attended meetings led by full-time servants and then dedicated themselves to their ordinary or daily activities, considered by some of them as not so spiritual or mistakenly seen by many as the so-called secular services. And although God, through Christ Jesus, has already declared the law of the Old Covenant revoked, the kind of mentality or thinking about callings that was widespread under the law of Moses insists on wanting to return from generation to generation, even trying to impose itself on the understanding about the calling, or vocation, of Christians, aiming at corrupting it into the mold of what has already been revoked before the Lord. By the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, by his burial, and by his resurrection from the dead, God has revoked all validity before him of the priesthood according to the order of Aaron, the services of the Levites, all the obligatory requirements of the law, as well as of their sacrifices, tithes, and offerings, for he made the whole law of Moses obsolete before him. And once the functions that were the reason for the calls, offerings, and tithes of the law of Moses were revoked, both the callings and the offerings, tithes, and rituals that were performed around the old law no longer have validity before God. Thus, it needs to be known that a Christian, as a new creature in Christ, has another kind of calling than the type of vocation under the old covenant and that, therefore, it is inappropriate to think of a Christian's calling in terms of the outdated covenant or consecration and the time of dedication to it as it was in the covenant revoked by the Lord. Every Christian is equally called to be a child of God Most High. And as a child of the Heavenly Father, every Christian is called to be a representative of God's heavenly family in the present world on an ongoing or full-time basis. A Christian is not called to live differently from the dissolute life of the world because one is under the prohibitions and rules of the law of Moses, for one indeed is not. On the contrary, a Christian is called to live and walk differently because of God's eternal purpose and because one has available a new condition in the Lord. A Christian is called to live and walk in everything under the understanding that in Christ Jesus is the only worthy and beneficial way of life. Romans 7:25. I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Romans 3:19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. A Christian has or should have doing everything as for the Lord Jesus Christ as a central goal of one's life, for by the grace of God, through faith in the Lord, one has become a child of the Father of lights and brother of Jesus Christ. And as such, one has a calling to always and in all actions conduct oneself as a child of the eternal God. Ephesians 5, 1-5. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 3:23-24. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. We ask, then, again, why should a Christian aim to do everything, full-time and not part-time, for the glory of God? A Christian is called to live and walk in the world fully according to the will of God because one is part of God's family, has been made a child of light in the Lord, and should not aim to stop being what one became in Christ Jesus. A Christian may be called to dedicate part of one's life to a specific work, labor, or service that God invites or calls one to do. However, a Christian is not called to dedicate oneself entirely to a specific work, labor, or service, even though one may have been called by God for a particular task, for the upward calling to fellowship with Christ cannot be replaced by any other works, labors, or services. And if a Christian exchanges the upward calling to be guided in everything by the Spirit of the Lord for the calling to do works or answer specific callings, one may even reach the extreme point of seeing one's lampstand removed from one's place, as seen earlier. We also remember here yet that the lampstand represents the symbol of the means by which God manifests his light in the heart of a person, that is, the presence and anointing of the Holy Spirit in the heart of the one who came to be constituted in Christ as a new creature. An aspect that warns us that a person without God's lampstand in one's heart is a person who lacks God's direction, even though one may still be intensely dedicated to activities in the present world that seem to be God's calling for him or her, as mentioned in the following text. Revelation 2:2-5. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Therefore, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not quench the Spirit. A Christian's first love should always be one, namely, the love for God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And this love, every Christian is called to practice full-time. Thus, to say that dedication to a specific type of ministry must be full-time simply contradicts the upward calling to which all Christians are called. And this concept does not even make any sense in the condition of a new creature, for no one can fully dedicate oneself to a type of calling to a specific ministry or work since every human being is surrounded by a series of other activities that are part of the ordinary life. A calling for specific works should never take the place of the calling to live and walk in everything as a child of God and to have fellowship with Christ to be instructed by him in the most diverse areas of life. A calling to any particular work should never be seen as a reason for a Christian to leave one's essence of being a Christian, a child of God, a child of light, and an instrument of the Lord's righteousness in the most diverse aspects of one's life. God calls those who are in Christ Jesus to have an integral life in the new creature condition that was given to them. And this, being repetitive, involves all aspects of their lives and not just a specific service to which a person supposedly would have to dedicate oneself uninterruptedly to be considered as someone who serves Christ integrally. If, for example, a mother takes care of her children according to God's will and does her other activities according to God's guidance through fellowship with Him, she is living full-time the Lord's upward calling for her life. And this applies equally to the father who walks under the Lord's instruction in the care of his children and the most diverse areas of his life. God calls all people to be saved in Christ by grace through faith in the Lord. However, once someone receives salvation, one also receives the name according to the Lord of one's life, Christ Jesus. That is, in Christ, an individual is called a Christian. And under this name, all Christians are equally called to live and walk all-time or full-time. As Christians, the children of God are called to be always in Christ by fellowship with the Lord. And this, to be strengthened in Him in everything and every moment of their new life as Christians, whether they are alone, with their families, or involved in any other work or activity. In Christ, the Christian has one's eyes open to see who one is in God so that one also longs to be, in everything, what one has become in the Lord. After the Christian knows who one is in the Lord, one also knows that one can act by heavenly grace as a new creature in all that one does. In one's new condition, the Lord can freely assign a Christian to the tasks in which He wants this Christian to act, and He may even instruct him or her to remain in the same profession in which one was already working before knowing Christ for their, now, being an instrument for the glory of God. In one's new condition in Christ, an individual has a new heart and has Christ abiding in him or her to provide support so that one may, in all things, live to the glory of one's Lord. Ezekiel 36, 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Jeremiah 32, 39-40. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Every Christian is called to be set apart for the Lord to, in everything, live and walk in the light of the Lord, regardless of which professional area the Lord calls a Christian to work. A person who is genuinely a Christian, even if one does not yet know if there is a specific calling of God for him or her, is more useful to the Lord in promoting light and righteousness than anyone else who claims to have a great special calling, but who is a sower of unrighteousness or actions contrary to the kingdom of God. When writing his letters to Christians in some cities, Paul does not distinguish between special classes of Christians, but writes principles of life to be lived by all Christians, as exemplified below. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. All people are called to salvation in Christ Jesus, and all who receive it are called the saints of God. The scriptures do not attribute the characteristic of being saints only to a few persons, as is the intention of those who supposedly attribute holiness to others because of their works and not because of the grace and righteousness that God bestows on all those who believe in Christ Jesus. Let us note again that all the beloved of God are called to live and walk as saints, as those separated or chosen of the Lord to find themselves in Him in all they do and at all times. In the law of Moses, there was a vocation in which only some were called to live apart to serve the Lord in a differentiated way and to seek more intensely to draw closer to the presence of God. However, in Christ Jesus, this was never foreseen to be so, for all the loved ones are called to be of the Lord entirely, regardless of their professions and the places where they live, under the risk that if they are not the Lord's, they will not be able to enjoy the life granted by the Lord's Spirit either. Romans 8, 9. But you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. For a person to be considered holy, one needs to be set apart for a special purpose. However, every person who has reached the condition of a new creature in Christ is already a person specially separated by the same and only blood of Christ Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary for the salvation of all human beings. 2 Corinthians 5, 14-15. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Every Christian, or everyone born in Christ Jesus as a new creature, has the calling to live and walk holy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the Lord calls a person to remain in the position of a work one already had before coming to Christ, it is also in this position of work that one is called to walk in the Lord and for his glory, as we already mentioned above. Therefore, if a person is living and walking according to the will of God or as the Lord leads this Christian through his Holy Spirit, one is full-time living in the call of God to live and walk in Christ, regardless of areas, works, labors, and services that the Lord instructs to perform. It is impossible to enumerate all the functions and professions of people in the world and for which they may be called by God to act, for we could remember some and not others. However, whether in the role of son, daughter, husband, wife, father, mother, brother, sister, worker in the field or the city, if an individual is a Christian, one is called to live as a child of God wherever the Lord leads this person to be, having a promise that also the reward of one's inheritance shall come from the Lord. In this way, what determines whether a Christian is adopting a posture of living integrally or not in Christ Jesus is not primarily a work, labor, or service in which one acts, but, rather, whether in what one acts is what the Lord called one to be, even if for other people one's performance may seem not very expressive or not special. 1 Corinthians 1, 26-31. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. There are people who claim that an individual is only fulfilling a calling or a vocation from the Lord if one is specifically a preacher of the gospel or if one is involved in a special ministry of serving fellow believers. These, however, forget or despise the fact that all Christians are called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and that all Christians are called to serve one another mutually. A subject covered more widely also in the themes The Christian in the World in General, Works, Labors, and Services, Every Good Gift and Every Perfect Gift. Even if there are children who refrain more from living and walking in conformity with the condition of children to which they are called in God, on the part of God and his upward vocation in Christ Jesus, all children are equally called to know and live in full time this position to which they are called in God. If many earthly parents already consider their sons or daughters to be their full-time sons or daughters, being sons or daughters a characteristic of who they will always be for them, much more does the Heavenly Father call His children to be His sons and daughters and live as such also at all times. Romans 8:16 and 19-21. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Jeremiah 3:19. But I said, How can I put you among the children and give you a pleasant land, a beautiful heritage of the hosts of nations? And I said, You shall call me, my father, and not turn away from me.